Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and go to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. And we had a good day this morning. I heard you guys had a good day. We were up in Waycross with Brother Chad. And they had their anniversary Sunday. And blessed day. He broke his church Sunday school attendance record. They had 252 in Sunday school this morning, and with over 100 on their buses. And then they had 22 saved in the morning service. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it was a blessing. I got to preach to the teenagers in the teen tent and sweat outside, but what a blessing. Amen. Amen. So it's good to be with you tonight. And I have something that's on my heart tonight I want to preach to you. My wife asked me when I was preaching while we were driving in the van, and I told her I had kind of two messages that I kind of mashed together, and her response was, "Oh no." And so amen. And so I want to pray, and we'll get started tonight. Luke chapter number 5, if you would. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, and we just thank you for being able to be in a place that we can worship you tonight, and just thank you for your word. And I thank you for being saved and knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. I thank you that I get the opportunity to just preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I beg you tonight that you'd use me once again, dear God. I know what you've called me to do, and I pray, dear God, you just let me be your messenger boy tonight. I pray you'd open the scriptures to the hearts and the ears of the hearer. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd do what I cannot do, that you'd open the hearts of these people that hear tonight. So many people need so many different things tonight, dear God, and only you know how to take care of that. And I know that your word is fully capable of doing everything that needs to be done tonight. I pray you'd move me out of the way and that you'd do it through me tonight. I'll ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter number 5, this is a very familiar passage of scripture for most of you. It'll be a little bit unusual, probably, the direction that I go tonight. Recently, as the teenagers were with us down there, we had the singing group down in Gulf Coast, and we were down to Brother Tom Sexton's church there at Gulf Coast Baptist Church. And Brother Scott Pauley was preaching, and he made some statements about the Bible. He's been in evangelism for some time now, and he made some statements. Some people came and asked him and said, what we need is revival. And he made this statement that revival, he said, what kind of revival? And I was intrigued by that, and I knew and I've heard that before, but it helped me again to kind of be reminded what kind of revival. Typically, we think of revival as being, and there's some of that going on in our country today, we think of revival as being something that is sinners getting saved, but it's completely against the word, what it means. The word revival means something that was once dead, that has been once alive, now is dead and needs to be revived. And so the mindset, really, when we have that, no doubt people being saved is the result of God's people being revived and revival happening in a church. And so, but his question to the hearers or to the person that had made the question, what, you know, we need revival, he said, revival of what type? He said, revival of Bible reading, revival of prayer. There's so many different things that could aid to the reviving of a person. And it just took and hit me in the heart. Our theme this year at the college is, at thy word I will. And before I go any farther, let me say this. I'm going to forget if I don't. Please excuse this. Gentlemen that are in the college, I want to meet with you directly after the service right down here on the first two rows, okay? That was just for your message, okay? Now you can sweat what I'm going to talk to you about for the rest of the time. But anyway, all right, Luke chapter number 5. At thy word I will. And that's taken out of Luke 5:5 here, but I wanted to just kind of give you some things here. I believe that in our country, if you know if there's anything that I believe that in this church we know, and you said, Brother Parson, you're preaching on the Bible. We're straight. I understand where I'm at. I do know what we believe. I know that what Bible we carry, but I do believe that there has come in our country, and even in the fundamental realms, people that use the King James Bible, I believe that we're not thankful for it. I believe that there's been times in my life that I am not thankful for what I have. When I contemplate that people all around the world would love to have a Bible that they knew was the Word of God. Amen. Without question, not to question it or to try to figure out which Bible is the right one in their language, but to know that they have the Word of God in their language. And then to be able to have not only a copy of it,
but a study Bible or a wide margin or a leather-bound nice Bible to be able to carry. Not some vinyl or paperback John and Romans that someone gave you. Can you imagine what it would be like to be somewhere else and to have the precious Word of God handed to you on the street? And for the very first time to be able to read the precious Word of God and to see that. I believe in our country and in this building, I am guilty of taking this book completely for granted. Not forsaking it. See, I believe that in this room that we have many people that read the Bible every day. That's not what I'm talking about. See, that's that would be forsaking to read the scriptures, but I'm talking about just taking it for granted. I'm not going to try to belabor the point. I believe that you understand exactly how precious this book is. I believe that you understand exactly how vital it is to the daily living of the Christian. I believe that you understand that everything that we know about God and everything that we know about the future that's held by God and everything that's going to come into fruition, sometimes we take for granted exactly what this book is. We get our eyes off on so many other things in this world, and we get our eyes are so, even in the day and age, I understand that, it's a detrimental election, if you will. I believe that, I don't think, as has been said before, I'm not sure that, I'm voting against somebody. Amen. But I want you to understand tonight that this book, the world knows that this book has the answers. The world throughout the ages, which has tried to, when a leader has taken power and wanted to break down everything that book stands for, they've tried to destroy it. They've tried to discredit it. They tried to tear it down. And as God's people, we realize if we've got anything that is powerful. I preached this morning to teenagers on the power of God. Do you realize the gospel is the power of God and salvation? Amen. This book is the power of God. If I have any power or anything good that's ever going to be put into me or even into you, it's me having this book and memorizing this book and having more of this book inside of me, because this book changed me. This book took me, I passed from death unto life because someone preached from this book, and I accepted the Jesus of this book. Okay, and I hope I'm laying a foundation for you to understand tonight that this book is, the Bible says that it'll change you by the renewing of your mind. The last time I preached, but listen, I feel like more than anything, if I could give it to you today, I want you to understand, more than anything, I believe in our own midst, we need to have a revival of not just Bible reading, but Bible in us. Instead of calling it revival, maybe we should call it re-Bible. Because me needs the Bible. You needs the Bible. Are you with me today? I want you to understand that the Bible shapes and molds every decision in my life. Understanding this Bible, when I read this Word of God, this Bible sets hedges up for me. The Holy Spirit of God, when He is trying to deal and help me in my life, He does not recall the words of some great philosopher. He pulls out the words of Almighty God and puts them in my way so the Bible, I've got to trip over the scriptures to get to the sin that I want to commit in the flesh. My spirit, it puts as a hedge in front of me. It stops me from getting out of bounds. It's important. The Bible is spoken of, and we'll probably get there tonight. But listen, as a newborn babe, this is our necessary food. How can we function without the scriptures? And please don't get me wrong. I thank God that you read the book. But so many times, how many of us just mark time when we're reading it? You know that this book is precious, and I understand. Listen, if you read your Bible through in a year and that's how you choose to read your Bible, precious, that's precious. I thank God for it. But I would to God that we understood and read the scripture and it moved us and we didn't pass through it. that we left with pieces of it in us and we didn't pass over it. Do you know, we drove a mess of road today, and there was a lot of things that I passed by, but none of those affected me because I was just flying by it all. The places that we had to stop because my daughter can't pass any place that's got a bathroom in it, those places affected me because I had to stop and go in and check them out. You with me tonight? You help me? You understand? Let's look at the scripture tonight. If you'll go to Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Look at the last verse here in verse number 10. We'll read the next few verses. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Look at it. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The key verse for our whole school year as a college is, At thy word I will. And I would to God that you could take that phrase and understand it a little bit tonight, just in the sense of this. That's not what I'm preaching on, but I just want to stop and just take a minute to just help us. You know, we even thought about making a T-shirt at thy word. You understand? You know, catchy. It's too cool for us, though. And then it says, hashtag I will. All right? Why is that? Because we live in that day and age where we understand, listen, when God's word says it, I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer. But my fear today is that we pass over the scripture so fast that we're not even a hearer of the word, that it doesn't sink down into our ears, that it doesn't get into us. Did you see where Christ said here in the scripture tonight? And I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, but I love how he says there, he says that let the saying sink down into your ears. And I thought to myself now, my goodness, as I read through the scripture and I went through here tonight, I thought when I began this, I never saw this, and I wasn't approaching this scripture this way, but look at verse 1, and it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. You see, we had God in the flesh about to preach. Can you imagine the opportunity? How many of us, I mean, tonight, just think about it. I mean, you know, just what would you pay to get a ticket to some stadium to hear Jesus preach? If you had the opportunity to be in a stadium or in some building and you could hear the word of God preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, what would you sell out to be in that place? As a Christian, I don't know about you, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If he was here and I could get at him and I could just get within arm distance or I could get a front row seat, okay, I would probably... I've already married her off, so I'd have to give my second born child, okay, to get into the gate, okay? You understand what I'm saying tonight? I mean, what wouldn't you give to hear the Lord Jesus preach? Can you imagine this time in the scripture where it's coming into the... I mean, this has been hundreds of years of silence. Hundreds of years of not hearing the word of God, not hearing God's prophecy. Nothing had been said, and they were... Man, I can tell you, listen, and all of a sudden... God's Son, God in the flesh, shows up. No man spake like this man spake. No man preached with power like this man preached. Can you imagine what that was like? And I said, man, can you imagine? I can only imagine why so many people showed up to get on that beach and they pressed upon him. Not to hear preaching. The Bible says to hear the word of God. They knew what it was. They understood. You say, well, I don't know if they understood. Come on now, I'm preaching. All right. So, and he says here, he says, and the word of God. And then listen now, I want you to look with me if you would. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You do realize the answer to every one of your problems is found in the word of God. Every, you say, well, I don't believe that. Listen, this guy in this story tonight, and we're going to go through it, but you do realize that not only does Peter listen to the preaching and the masses get helped, but the men in the boat get helped. Not only does he help with their spiritual need at the time, but he helps with their financial need at the time. Does the word of God not only have answer, he says, listen, launch out into the deep. You say, well, Brother Parsons, I don't know if that's the answer. I'm just telling you, Jesus was not someone at this point in time. Listen, he looks at the man that's with him. And if there was anybody that you could say launch out into the deep and he was crazy enough to do it, it was Simon Peter. He was always launching out when Jesus didn't even say it, with his mouth all the time, all through the scripture. And here we come to this place, and he comes here, and it says, they hear the word of God, and in verse 2, and they saw two ships standing by the lake, and Jesus is understanding that, man, I'm going to be pressed upon, I'm not going to be able to be heard. So he gets in a ship, and he thrusts out a little bit of the land. I love how he does this. Look, not only does the word of God take and work for men and the masses, but I want you to see here in the scripture, he begs, the scripture begs us to do some things. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Do you know that God Almighty, he says here, look at what it says. I mean, I know it uses the word pray here, but it says in verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now listen, I know that you can say, well, God never begged anybody to do anything. I can tell you, brother, God, I did not surrender to preach the first time God knocked on my heart's door. God came after me and came after me and came after me. I can tell you, I didn't get saved the first time I heard it. God came after me and came after me and came after me. I have preached to young people because if you know that the love of God constrains you, you know what I'm talking about, to preach the gospel, but not only that, but I remember preachers, and I remember, listen, they didn't do that because of their own will, and I have fallen down in front of a group of young people knowing that their heart was hardened, that they just weren't ready, and fallen down and begged them on my knees and said, wouldn't you please accept Christ? Listen, wouldn't you just listen, I beg you to just throw off this hardness in your heart and accept Jesus for your own. If you don't have enough faith, then grab a piece of mine and step out in faith and test him to see if he's not the best thing that you'd ever have. Listen, I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, Jesus gets in the boat and it says he prayed him. I believe Jesus, listen, he realized the boat was his. Now, God owns everything. But you know that he gives you and I a free will to do whatever we want. God never came and put me in handcuffs and drug me to Haines City, Florida to go to Bible college. He never did that. But you know what? I can still remember him knocking and beating on my heart's door. And times when, listen, I heard the preacher, my preacher, man, he's the same age as Pastor Carter. I can remember the messages where he would plead for others to get in the work. Because there wasn't enough people. There wasn't enough workers. So much more could be done. Do you realize, listen, even though our building tonight, listen, I know, you know, we could complain about empty seats, but listen, there's a lot of workers here tonight. But everybody's not saved. The work is not done. The night has not come to the place where Jesus has returned for us and taken us to be home with him. You do realize there is no retirement in the Christianity. None. You don't get to do everything that, listen, I realize, listen, we got called young men tonight, praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Dr. Bradley, by the way. Amen. He got some brownie points for that one. Amen. I don't get called that much anymore. But you know what? I thought, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. You know? And I hear people talk about retirement all the time. And I think it's a great thing. You know, you work a job and you can retire and step out. But in the Christian life, the Bible, I just read it this morning in Hebrews. It says that there's a better rest prepared for the saint. But that's where I get to lay down my burdens. That's where I get to lay down and rest. That's when I get to retire fully. You say, well, Brother Parsons, you can't, I understand you can't do everything that you used to do, okay? There's gonna come a day they're gonna take my bus license, amen? Amen. And maybe my real license, amen? My car license too, you know? I realize there's gonna come a day when I'm not gonna be able to do those things and I can't do that anymore, but listen, I do know that there's always something that I can do. And he said he prayed him. Jesus stepped into the boat. He didn't say, listen, son, you put this boat out a little bit from the shore, like he owned it. He stepped in and said, would you let me use your boat? Would you push off a little bit from the land? And God's going to deal the same way with you. Listen, Christian, he didn't come up and put your arm behind your back and say, you college students, he didn't come throw your arm behind your back and make you surrender to do something for him. Staff member that's at Landmark, I hope you can go back in your mind. It'll do you good to go back to the time that God begged you to serve him. And you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, staff, that was an awesome day for me. I could take you to the place. I could tell you the time and the date. And I could tell you, listen, God got a hold of my heart. But listen, can I tell you? Do you know that any time Simon could have said, look, that's enough preaching. I got to get back to washing my nets and rowed on to land. Do you know when he said, well, let's launch out into the deep. He could have said, no, I got to get back to washing my nets. I mean, this preaching thing was okay, but I got to get back to my work. He could have done that any time. He could have taken the ship back. He let Jesus use it. But what a blessing it is. Listen, do you realize that the Word of God, that's the Word of God. The Word of God is what helped me. Do you know what helped me decide that I knew that I was being called to preach? It was that book. I heard men preach, but I didn't want to give my whole life away. That's what I felt like I was doing, that I was giving all my hopes and all my dreams. And I know that it might not be a big deal to you, but I remember I had big plans of being a hog farmer. I mean, I was, you know, bacon, you know what bacon costs, amen? Amen, and everything's better with bacon, amen? Not everything, but most things are better with bacon. And I thought, man, you know, this is going to be the job. I get to work at home and, man, plow the fields and grow. Man, that way, you know, you say that's a simple life. Man, that's what I dreamed of. And God didn't let me do that with my life. But you know what? He would have let me do that. But he called me to do something. And finally, after a while, I gave it to him. I wanted him to have it. I said, Lord, this is going to matter. What's a hog and bacon going to matter in eternity? What's corn going to matter in eternity? What's a tractor, a nice house, and some nice black soil on the eastern shore of Maryland going to matter in eternity? Nothing. But you know what? This morning, I got to preach in a tent. I got to sweat, just like I would have on a tractor, cultivating a field. But I got to do it in a tie. I got to stand behind a pulpit much like this, and I got to preach the precious Word of God and to tell children, young people, teenagers, that He could change their life. He could change their eternal destination. Listen, and it wasn't any power of me, but the power in the Word of God. And when that thing was over, about five of them got up and went to the back of the tent and said they wanted to be saved. And they took the Bible. And their whole head, their eternal destination changed. You realize, we've heard it preached that it's a big deal, but it's a big deal, friend. Amen. It's a big deal that God asked me if He could use my boat. He wanted mine. And guess what? He wants yours. Amen. That's what this Word of God is. And you know what? If I need repairs on my boat, I've got to go to the Word of God to get it. If I need to work, I've got to go to this book. Look, he begs us to do some things in verse 3. I hope you see that. And I hope you see if you look down, then after I surrendered, you go past him begging. Now I live in an area of commandment. Once he's in the boat and he gave, now he takes a bigger stand. And in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto him, Simon, launch out into the deep. I didn't see any asking happen in there. He didn't say, you know what? I was thinking about going fishing. What do you think? Amen. He's looking at one of the deacons. Amen. And he's like, let's go fishing. Every deacon thinks that's a good idea, right? Amen. He says to him, he says, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a draw. I remember the time, the first big step that God ever asked me to make. And I can guarantee you, just from what Simon's about to say in the next verse, he wasn't sure about this thing. He's like, well, maybe the Lord doesn't realize we fished all night and we didn't take nothing. I know he wants to fish now, but I've been out there all night when the fishing is typically good and taking nothing. And I'm washing my nets for nothing because I didn't make nothing because I went and fished all night for nothing. And he's getting that, and that preaching was great, but now he's probably sour at this point, you know. And he says, look at a verse, and I can see this. The commandment of God goes there, and he says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the nets. I will let down the nets. Listen now, I want you to take this, and I hope I say it in the right way. I hope you don't take this wrong, but I want you to get this mindset here. Once he gave in to what God was wanting him to do, then the commandment, do you understand the terminology here? He says, Master. Now, I've had to go to God sometimes in my life, and it helped me to explain to him that I didn't think it was going to work. Amen, when he asked me to do something. It really didn't change the fact of what he asked me to do. And I've worked for some people where I've had bosses and they told me to do something and I was like, you're the boss. Amen, Master. I do realize that this is never going to work. Okay. I just wanted to say that up front so that when I waste my time doing this, but you realize that he's not talking to just some man. He's talking to the God man. He's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to him, he says, Master, look, I toiled all the night. I took nothing, but, you know, at your word, I will let down the nets. Listen, see, there's a whole different ballgame going on. He understands. See, he understood from the beginning of this chapter when he says they were pressed upon him to hear the word of God. All of a sudden, he says, listen, you know what? I heard what you just preached. I'm not sure about this, but at your word, I'll go fishing. At your word, I'll step out. You say, this isn't a big deal. Listen, I'm just telling you, if you've ever worked a job, and most of you do, amen, you give up hours of your life. You don't ever get them back. Okay? When people come up and they need you, okay, I was home for my, and I this is on the internet, okay, bleep this out. And but I was home at my, I'm getting ready for my daughter's wedding, okay, and we were working frantically. There's not enough hours in the day, you know. I didn't hire somebody that was, you know, delicate to plan the wedding and everything. My wife said, this is what we need in there, and I went to putting it in there, and we were working hard, and I was at my home church. I don't know, 20 years ago, we put a septic system in for our church, for our camp. It's massive. It's got like 15,000 gallon tanks, and it has a pump system on it. With a week before I got there, conveniently, amen, someone backed over that electronic box that was on that pole. Okay? Well, they just stood it back up like every good American would do and hoped that it would work. Amen? Well, in that week, it filled all the way up, and the alarm was going off, but except for all the wires were detached, so there was no alarm to tell anybody. So I was working frantically to get something done at my daughter's wedding, sweating to death profusely, 102 degrees. Amen. And they called me and said, hey, could you come look at our septic, because it's backed up. And I was like, sure. Amen. And I went over there, you know, I wasn't really familiar with the panel necessarily. It had been 20 years, amen, and I'm not as young as I was when I put that in there, and don't remember everything about it, but I had some idea, and so I went to wiring on the panel. We had to redo the board. Actually, some of the guys that are here tonight were there working with me, and we kind of dug it out, put it back together, turned it on, and it worked somewhat. And so it worked, and it came on, it pumped it down, and everything worked. But, the whole time I was there, I was thinking, man, you know, man, I'm never going to, you know, how am I going to get everything done? am I going to get everything done? This wedding is happening, you know, the next day. And these hours are gone. Do you know that you think that way too? Amen? You say, well, that's for the Lord's work. You should have been happy to do it. I would have been happy to do it any other day but that day. Amen? I would have been happy to do it any other time after the wedding. You understand what I'm getting at? What I'm trying to say is sometimes, I guarantee you, if Simon was like me and like you, and I believe he was wrapped in mortal flesh just like us, and I think the scripture proves it out that he was pretty, it was like him. And so Simon says, that's kind of funny. Anyway, so Simon's there. I'm sorry, amen. So Simon is there. And he says what he thinks is Jesus wants to hear. But I guarantee you there's a lot more going on the inside of him. But then, just like any good Christian, somebody that's saved, someone that's surrendered, they shake off the flesh and they say, you know what? I'm sorry for even having a minute like that, Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Amen? You say, Brother Parsons, you're not really like that, are you? Oh, yeah. There's still a battle. Just like this going on in his life right at this moment. And you know what helps win the battle? Maybe you forgot, but it's this. Amen. It's this. You know that if I'm going to be spiritual, then I have to feed my spirit. I have to feed the Holy Spirit. So he's got ammunition because the flesh, it gets all the food that it wants most of the time. It all around me. I get everyone at the gas pump and I see people and people aggravate me. I drive from Waycross to here and people aggravate you on the road. Hey, road rage, amen? You better feed your spirit. You better feed your spirit because listen, there's times, listen, how important was it in Simon's life and in these men that are going to turn the world upside down that he launched out into the deep that day? How important was it that he had his ears on when the word of God was being preached just a few minutes before this happens, and he says, Master, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. It's important. It was a big deal. It was something, listen, the commands of God, listen, how many commands of God in our lives, listen, when we read through it in the scripture, how many of us do we just, you know, we take it? I believe that we live in a day and age where the commandments of God are just suggestions. I believe that we live in a day and age where, yeah, and I know that every age of man has been that way, but I believe more than anything that biblical theology, studying the word and understanding God's commandments and living by them is a thing of the past, even in the fundamental realms. We explain away why we dress a certain way rather than living by the book. We explain away the things that we listen to because we don't measure it by the book. We explain away the things that we watch because we don't measure it by the book. How different would your life be if you lived by the commandments in this book? Because this is the measuring stick, friend, when we get to heaven. This book ties into everything that's ever going to happen in your Christian life, all the way through eternity. As the brother said, it's a big deal. This book, this word of God. Now, I want you to see this now. It causes a reaction in him, and it should cause the same reaction to us when we see God do what we didn't think he could do. Because we had tried it, and we had failed. We had done it on our own strength and didn't do it in his strength. And when we follow his word in his way and launch out into the deep and throw the nets the way he wants us to throw the nets, and then we take in more fishes than we ever could encompass, we call our partners and begin to sink both boats for the good reason of having fish in them. And all of a sudden, what happens to poor old Simon? He says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down in verse 8 at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When was the last time that you read the word of God and it drove you to your knees before the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Forgive me, Lord, I am a sinful man? When was the last time you read the pages and not just to understand? Listen, I love the Psalms, I love Proverbs, but listen to me now. This book is more than Psalms and Proverbs. It's more than a book that'll just uplift us. It's a book that'll take us down and put us and tell us who we really are. This book is a mirror to tell you exactly who you are. Because you know what? If we stay away from this book long enough, we start to measure ourselves by the Christians that sit around us, and we think that we're pretty good. Some of us think that we've arrived and that we've grown to a plateau where we don't need that book anymore because we know everything that's in it. We follow everything that we abide by everything in it. But then if we went back to it, it would show us a totally different picture. You know, on mornings that I get out of bed and I feel really good, I get up and I feel really good and I forget that I'm not 18 anymore. I have a few of those mornings at this age, okay? I feel spry. I think I can take on the world. And then I walk in front of the mirror, and I realize that my hairline has receded several inches and that the man that I was when I was 18, that there's much more of me now. Amen? And it starts to give me the person that I thought I was when I piled out of bed and I thought I could take on the world. The mirror reveals exactly who I am today. That I'm not the same as that. But listen, thank God. You know what this mirror also shows me when I go to it? That I'm not the man that I used to be. That I got a different destination because of this book. That I got a different purpose than I had before I came to it. Amen. Listen, the book doesn't just show us the things that we need to keep working on. It shows us where we used to be. Thank God for this book. Thank God for this book. Listen, it just doesn't stop there. It changes him, and he falls down, and it changes his perspective of just, listen, he said master before, but now he realized just who's in the boat with him. When was the last time you realized just who you got when you got Jesus? This book will tell you. Look down with me if you would. Verse 9, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. You know, this book, when I came to it, it changed me, but it gave me a different purpose. The thing that it did for me, it revealed that I could get in on what it did for me. That what I got was just not the end of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but just the beginning of it entering into my life and to be able to share it with other people. Do you know why we get away from soul winning? We get away from giving away tracts because we get away from this book. Because if you read this book, you know you can't get away from this book. You cannot read this book and not realize that other people need what you got. You can't read this book very long without tears flowing from your eyes and being convicted that you're not out. And you went to Wendy's and you didn't have a tract in your pocket to hand in the window with your money. That you went to the gas pump and you didn't have tracts with you. You say, Brother Parsons, you keep preaching against about tracts. Listen, I don't know, but my preacher, listen, he just showed a video the other night. Okay, that was, all right, that was a big deal. And it was on tracts. Hey, I want you to know tonight, listen, people have been saved all over the world because somebody just took the time. Listen, we live in a crazy, fast-paced world. And still, you don't understand what it does to someone when you just take a moment, especially in our economy of time, to just mention to them that Jesus loves them. And to give them the gospel in print, just a piece of the Word of God. And they get to open it up. And listen, in the day and age we live in, sometimes read those verses for the very first time. You say, that can't be. I'm just telling you. When you bring in a kid on your bus and you say, do you know who Jesus is? And he goes, who? When you say, what about Moses? Who? What about Adam? Who? See, we think that every family is like our family. We think everybody grew up in the same place we grew up. That everybody's been having the Word of God in their home and read it every day just like we do. Listen, friend, the world is lost and on its way to hell. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And if some Christians got revived or rebibled, it would set us on fire again to do what God's called us to do. It'd make us launch out into the deep. It would turn our time, my time. Amen. Into His time. It would take my time I set aside for me. When did me get any time? I sold myself out a long time ago. It's His time. Hey, friend, listen. You say, well, Brother Parsons, that's crazy talk. You know, I'm just telling you. You read this book. How about that guy that we saw on that video the other night? I think he still had a good family life. I think he had time. But he gave God. He said, I'm going to go out and witness to 10 people every night. And I'm not saying, listen, please don't think that I'm trying to ask every one of you to not go to sleep at night before you witness to 10 people. But he did. He wasn't a preacher. He's just a layman that worked a job. You know that I found this. You know, if you fall in love with what you're doing for God, it doesn't take you that long. How long would it really take you to give a track and a witness to 10 people if you drove down to International Drive? It happened like that. You might even stay and do another 10 because you'd already scheduled the time in. You say, Brother Parsons, that's extreme Christianity. Now, according to the scripture, that's my reasonable service. Look at it with me. Last verse here, 11. And when they had besought, they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What in your life would hold you back? What is so important here that you couldn't forsake it for him? Because typically those are the things that get in with the way of us doing the things that God's called us to do, commanded us to do, begged us to do. I think maybe we need to have a revival of reprioritizing our lives. You know what will do that for you? The Bible. This book will set your priorities. Listen tonight. I'm already past my time, but I beg you tonight in the invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, don't stay in your seat. Deal with God tonight. God's dealt with my heart about this. I believe, listen, that reading the Bible is something that we need to do. But hiding it in our heart and obeying it is something that we need to do as well. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me tonight? The pianist is going to play and I'll turn the invitation.